Dr. Venter, welcome to the German Dream Project.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
As a young man, you began working as a night clerk in a department store. Then you enlisted in the Navy during Vietnam. And later, after returning to the U.S. to study, you got your PhD in physiology and pharmacology in only 6 years. What drew you to science and then eventually to genetics?
Well, in fact, I was a very poor student because I was bored with school. I thought almost anything was more interesting than school. I built some boats. I was a competitive swimmer. So I barely graduated from high school. And after school, I left home at age 17 and moved to Southern California to sort of take up a surfing career. I was actually drafted off my surfboard because of the escalation of the war in Vietnam. This was 1965. I enlisted in the Navy because the Navy actually promised me an opportunity to be on the Navy swimming team because I was a local California swimming champion and thought that all I had to do for 2 or 3 years was go to Pan American Games and maybe train for the Olympics. And the war in Vietnam escalated even more, and all the military sports teams were canceled. And so I opted to go into the medical corps and ended up in Vietnam. During the Tet Offensive, I was there for a whole year, and that changed my outlook on everything in the world. So I couldn't go back to a frivolous life of just being a surfer. But I was very motivated. I was in a hurry to make up for all the time that I lost by being in the military and motivated to get on with doing something with my life.
Dr. Venter, since 2003, you and your team of scientists have been sailing around the world taking gene samples of different regions of the world's oceans, a journey during which you have discovered not just dozens or hundreds, but thousands of new species and millions of new genes. What is the purpose of your worldwide search for undiscovered DNA?
Well, there's lots of purposes. It was just asking a very simple question using the tools after I sequenced the human genome of what's in the oceans and can the new tools that I developed with my team be used for understanding the environment. And so just by asking simple questions, you know, who's in the ocean? Who's in this invisible pool that we can't see with our eyes? We were stunned by the answers. A child could take a cup of seawater and using the modern tools of biology make more new species and gene discoveries than the rest of the world did in the last couple of decades. You know, that's a pretty stunning concept, just showing how little of life on this planet we understand. It also stemmed from one of the notions that kept me alive when I was in Vietnam was the dream of sailing around the world. Maybe being trapped in a hospital in a war zone made me dream of freedom. I've been able to have the best of both worlds of making new discoveries every day while sailing around the oceans on a small sailboat.
Dr. Venter, like so many European countries, Germany is lacking enough scientists and engineers and has not been very successful in attracting highly trained individuals from other countries. What do you think can be done so that Germany's young people see a career in science as something cool and exciting and prestigious?
There's nothing in my entire life that has been as exciting or rewarding as making a discovery, being the first one to make it, and knowing that you're bringing new knowledge to the human race and potentially affecting a large number of people's lives. That's something that can't be taught, but it's one of the most exciting things I think that any human could do. But I think one of the reasons that there's success and innovation in the U.S. is that there's multiple pathways to get to the end point. I think it's very unlikely if I was a European that I would have been a successful scientist because I had a very alternate route. I wasn't gifted academically, at least in terms of the time I wanted to devote to it, and only became a scientist much later in life after developing some new motivations. And I think one of the lessons my career shows, it's never too late to go back and really try something new and devote yourself 100% to it. But your society has to allow that. If it doesn't, then they have to seek their opportunity somewhere else.
In the mid-90s, you and your team at Celera Genomics won the race in mapping the human genome on a shoestring budget of roughly $300 million, if we did our research correctly, while the U.S. government had invested roughly $3 billion. You have been called a rebel, a maverick, unorthodox, and even a manic scientist entrepreneur, or simply the bad guy. What can you tell us from your life experience about the contribution of outsiders and risk takers to the progress of science?
When you look back at the history of science, almost every major advance was made by somebody with those same titles and attributions, and some even less flattering ones. I think what helps is two things. One, I learned from surviving the war in Vietnam not to be afraid to take risk, that it was worth putting 100% of my energy into what I believed was important. Our societies don't train us to do that. You have to learn that from quite often not very pleasant personal experiences, such as being in a war and having your life threatened repeatedly. I think learning not to be afraid to take risk and go after things that I totally believe in have been a very a key part of successes. The other thing is that I think quite often the advances are made by people who are outside the general field where they're making an advance. I think it's because when you come in a little bit from the outside or with a new point of view, you're not inhibited by the historical reasons where everybody convinced themselves of what is not possible. I think asking naive questions is one of the most successful ways of really moving ahead. I think it's quite amazing with something like the entire field of marine biology, the experiment that I did with just trying to see who was in the oceans really hasn't been done before. Those should be exciting lessons for any young people considering going into science. And it's the opposite of what I was taught when I was starting my PhD. I was told by very senior scientists that it was going to be very difficult to make advances in science because most all of biology was known already. And it's so clear just from asking simple questions that we understand a very small portion of our own biology, let alone the biology and richness of the planet we live on. So if people apply these same ideas to whatever field they're in, hopefully they'll be less afraid to take risk and really try something new that they dream about. But if left to others, they'll be talked out of trying.
Dr. Venter, may we ask, what is your most optimistic, most daring, risky, or even idealistic dream for Germany? And might we add, in any arena, not just science?
We have to make fundamental changes in our society. We can't keep taking carbon out of the ground in the form of oil and coal, processes of billions of years of evolution and biological processes, and over a few decades, burning that and putting it in our atmosphere. So we all have to find solutions to those problems. And the engineering and tremendous scientific and intellectual capabilities that exist in Germany hopefully can contribute greatly to those solutions. Look what we're all facing as the cost of carbon-based fuels skyrockets right now. The impact of that in terms of social upheaval, economic upheaval is tremendous, not to mention what potentially could happen if the ocean gets a few degrees warmer. We could potentially redirect or lose the Gulf Stream, which certainly keeps England and much of Europe out of the ice ages. So I think we need to be looking forward, not backwards. And I'm actually counting on young entrepreneurs, intellectuals, engineers, scientists, philosophers in Germany with its tremendous history for doing that to make major contributions to the solution. And I was recently in Austria. One of the questions I was asked there is, what would happen if all evolution stopped? And my answer was that in a relatively short historic period of time, all life would cease to exist on this planet. Evolution is a continuous process. Biology can't happen even on a daily basis without it. And the same applies to our lives. We have to constantly evolve and change and adapt. And I think that's an important lesson for individuals, for governments, for countries. I think it's important for Germany. I think it's important for the U.S. to constantly change and adapt, otherwise become irrelevant and extinct.
What would you say to those people in the world who are worried or downright afraid of any form of genetic engineering?
People have been throughout, for example, Europe, have been doing genetic engineering for centuries. That's how all agriculture has proceeded. That's what animal and plant breeding is. To me, a frightening experiment would be taking two unrelated species and taking their entire genomes and randomly mixing them together. If somebody proposed that experiment today, people might be horrified by it. And that's something we should be afraid of because we have no idea what's being done. Also, I think there was a lot of fear generated, particularly in Europe, with genetic engineering, in part based on all the events that happened in World War II, which in fact were based on experiments that came out of Cold Spring Harbor in the U.S. of eugenics. But that's not science. That was political process of some people trying to use science to their social ends, so trying to change populations.
How do you explain that some of the most pressing scientific issues of our time, from global warming to genetic engineering and stem cell research all the way to birth control, seem to be discussed increasingly as issues of ideology or religion, while the scientific debate is largely or often being neglected?
It's an important question, and I think with things changing more and more rapidly as we get information faster, as we transfer information more rapidly around the world through the internet in particular, the isolation that most lives used to have has been changed dramatically. I think one of the unfortunate results of that is there's a fundamental increase in fundamentalism in religion and political thought around the world as a means of isolating people from all the different issues that we're faced with every day. Looking back at history, it was only 10 years ago when my team sequenced the first genome in history. So this whole field of genomics is a decade old. It was only 5 years ago that we sequenced the human genome. For example, the yeast genome took 1,000 scientists 10 years to do. Today, 10 years later, we can do that same project with a small team in a few days. Those are pretty rapid changes, and the overall information content is growing substantially. So I think politicians, scientists, general public are confronted with far more issues, far more information today than ever before in human history. The public can afford to not understand science now.
Dr. Venter, in a time where it is said that money makes the world go round and where many corporations are rushing to patent nearly everything, including even our own human DNA, you have said that you will make your catalog of genes freely available on the internet. What is this special dream that drives you?
Well, in fact, the issue about gene patenting was tried extensively with human genes, and there was lots and lots of discussion about it. And my work drove that more than anybody else because I discovered more human genes than anybody else. And starting with the U.S. government filing patents on genes, I discovered created quite a controversy. But I think that experiment has been done, and it's the drugs and medicines that are developed using the knowledge from human genes that have proven to have the lasting value, not patents on human genes. But I wanted to make sure with the millions and millions of genes that my team is discovering in the oceans and the environments of the world, that this from the beginning contributed to broad scientific development with anybody that had access to the internet.
Lastly, you ventured out to discover and map Mother Earth's DNA following your dream of sailing the oceans. What is your favorite place on this Earth?
I would have to say the Galapagos is one of the most extraordinary places that I have visited with the diversity and unusual nature of life. And there's so many places that are just absolutely phenomenal and beautiful. And I like to view myself as a citizen of the world, not just of the United States.
Dr. Venter, thank you for sharing some of your hopes and dreams with us today.
Well, I wish you and your listeners the best stimulation for going forward to make a difference in the world.